there's a misconception that yoga is sitting, meditating, quiet, slow movement. Yoga is so expansive that you can gain a lot of strength. You work your cardiovascular, depending on your, you know, breathing, your flow. It provided me the sense of peace and freedom that running did. So for the head. So while running is and will always remain in my head and in my heart, my legs don't always cooperate, although I'd get back out there. Yoga for me provides, it gives me the head high. It provides the heart and the movement.
Welcome, podcast listeners, to The Wellness Connection. My name is Karen Bell, your host, the occupational therapist, a health and wellness coach, passionate about wellness, bringing quality living to everyday life. And we have Jared Forte, our producer.
Oh, man, she got my name right. Yeah, it's G Forte. How y'all doing today? Excited about our guest that we have later on, a few minutes from now in the show. But as always, we want to do a quick check-in to update all of you on our wellness journey since the last time you heard from us. So, shall I start? Oh, do you have any?
You
want
start.
Me to start? Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess. This, you know, there are always seasons in terms of, for me, there's always seasons where things are really busy and things were a little bit slower. I don't have like a set, I don't have a set workload. Things come in waves in terms of the things that I'm involved with. So the end of the semester is typically a very busy season for me. And so of this week has been the first time that's really been apparent in my level of activity. And so dealing with the stress from that has been a big part of the focus of my wellness journey. Feel a little bit of anxiety about, oh, am I going to be able to get this stuff done? You know, you if you take it to bed with you at night, you feel a little stress and you're not really able to rest completely. So I've experienced some of that and over the course of the week, and I guess the way that I've dealt with it is just by remembering that I've done it before and it worked out. Mm-hmm. So you know, I feel the anxiety, I feel the stress, and usually once I get started, as in almost every case, once I actually get engaged in the work, it's never as daunting as I anticipated being.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
So no normal practice of yours. You just kind of wing it, you go with it, and allow the time to sort of adjust how you're feeling, your anxiety, your stress?
Well, what I found is just engaging in the work, engaging in the task is the best remedy for the anxiety about the task, because I find that it's never as, even if it's difficult or it's tough, it's never as tough as I expect it to be. Mm-hmm. I'm generally up to it, you know, but that's not the person that is worrying about it is not the same person that is doing it. Mm-hmm. So you have your worrying self and your productive self. So when you're sitting back and you're looking at the task without the knowledge of what your capacity is to engage in it, you just feel a little intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. But once you start doing it, you have the confidence either to get it done or to have some sort of realistic expectations about what it's going to be. And you feel at peace with it when you're engaged with it. It's mm-hmm. when you're looking mm-hmm. at it with fear that it has a tendency to be a cause of stress.
Mm-hmm. I can actually relate to that. I think I feel like that sometimes when I'm preparing for the podcast, that still building with that anxiety, not sure if I'm going to say the wrong thing at times. And so I can understand it, but once I get in the motion of things, I start feeling a little bit more comfortable, more accepting. I start accepting myself. So yeah, I can relate to that 100%. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I still got a few more weeks of it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be cool though, you know?
Oh yeah.
It's going to be cool.
With the Cool G, of course.
Yeah. They call me Cool G Rap, you know? I always try to come from a place of a balance whenever I'm facing stuff. You know, you have those moments and they come and eventually they pass. as long as you don't allow them to paralyze you, you'll be okay.
One thing I could say about you is you're right on point about knowing yourself, because that's exactly, I've been with you when there's been a little situations that throw you off your little curve, and yet you're just as calm as the as calm could be, and yet I know you're anxious about it, but yet it is not felt by anyone in the room.
Right. Yeah. I try to be cognizant of that, and that could come from a variety of places. Mm-hmm. Some of it might be like from being in the Army and being in situations that were really high stress, and knowing that it wasn't going to be helpful for me to come in and like freak people out. That ain't helping nobody. You know?
Yeah, especially someone like me, because I can be
right.
Extremely.
Yeah, that ain't helping no. So just just being responsible for what you're bringing to the situation, mm-hmm. and trying not to make it worse by the way that you are interacting with it. Some yeah. things are just bad, but you could always make it worse.
Yes, yes. Sometimes, I can relate to that 100%. Yes, because sometimes in working as the occupational therapist in the environment, dealing with a lot of psychosocial issues, it's an emotional, intense experience many times, because people are displaced and they're confused and they're not sure where they're going to end up at. So that energy is in the room. And mm-hmm. so you're right with coming. I have to consciously come in a different state of mind in order to set the stage in a more effective way.
Right.
So, yeah, good point. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. As you were talking, I was trying to think, what was my wellness week looking like? Because it's been all over the place. I have a tendency sometimes of picking up things that may seem very similar in activity and find out it's a little bit frayed from where I thought it was. So, you know.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, for example, I may be dealing with anything associated. Let's use work as an example.
Okay.
It may seem like it's a simple task dealing with a patient. No.
It's not simple.
No. No, because I'm thinking, oh, I'm just doing my therapeutic intervention here. It's going to be great. We're going to get through this. Okay.
Right.
It starts building and towers, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. And so, a lot of times, what I found this week was, I find myself falling in this, I would say, a shallow hole. Okay, a shallow hole, and having to take a break just like that, staying in that hole for a second and then deciding how I'm going to climb out of it so that I can maintain that composure, that
right.
state of mind, that calmness that everyone's talking about today, what we're talking about today, and trying to channel through it. I worked through everything this week, so that's been wonderful, but it was a challenge. So,
well, yeah, I mean, a ditch mm-hmm. is... you can look at a ditch as a few different things. It's something that can trip you up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be in there,
mm-hmm.
but it's also cover.
Yes.
Like, it provides cover.
Yes.
So sometimes if you're in a ditch, you don't want to be in a ditch, but it gives you just enough cover to take a break and get a sense of what's going on and take a breath. So, you know, all ditches, you don't, you know, you try not to steer into them, but if you find yourself in there and you can't do anything else,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's just like setting you up to take the rest that you have to take to get clear on everything.
Yeah, very good. Well said. Well said, Jared. Yeah, exactly. That stillness. Sometimes we're forced into stillness, and that allows our mind to gain clarity.
Right.
And to get through that little tough moment. Yeah.
Right
now. So, all right. So a hole was my wellness moment then.
All right. Can you say a little bit about our guest for today?
Yeah. Did you introduce our guest?
I didn't introduce our guest. So we have another Karen in the house. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we had Gerard.
Right.
Which was it?
It was Gerald.
It was Gerald. So when Karen texted me, she texted me Gerard.
Right.
And then here we were both here and she was mispronouncing both of our names. But we have another Karen in the house who is going to talk to us a little bit about her journey through yoga and her unique path of discovering that. And you know, we need to move, and we need to move in intentional ways that open us up. So hopefully we can learn a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. I am so excited to have Karen Folks here
yeah,
with
Karen
us today.
Yeah, Karen Folks, not, yeah.
Yeah.
We were getting the name right before. How do you say that? Folks. Right.
Hey, I have my cautionaries, you know,
right.
knowing my
before,
history.
Right before every episode, we got to go through and make phonetic spellings of everything right. for Karen so she can still mess it up when she says it in the podcast.
He's it's terrible.
All good. It's all good. So when we come back, we're going to meet our guest today, and I hope y'all had a great week. We'll see y'all on the other side in just a second.
Well, welcome back, podcast listeners. Hey, so I told you we have someone really special who is about yoga, and her name is Karen Folks, and she's with the Zen Spot, and she's here to share her wellness journey with you.
Hello, everyone. I hope everybody's doing well today.
So we know that you are involved with yoga now, and it is a very specific or unique approach that you've been innovating on and sharing with the community. But before we get in there, let's go back a little bit and talk about how you found this practice and kind of what you were doing before.
Okay.
Y'all can't see her, but I'm sitting here looking at her. She looks very fit and healthy. And
try to be.
So
yeah, she's
say
beautiful.
A little bit about your journey leading up to getting involved with
okay,
yoga.
Okay. Well, I was always active in my life. Ran track as a kid in high
run?
School.
What'd you
I did 400. I even did long jump. I was just always active.
Okay.
I could recall a time when my father, who knew I was fast, he would put me up against boys. You know, mm-hmm. bet my daughter could beat you, and I was a pretty fast kid. So.
So you were the right kind of fast for
oh, yeah.
your dad's taste.
I mean, not that. Yeah, not that sassy
like,
fast.
Girl,
I was fast.
You fast.
I was no, not that fast.
Girl, you fast. Let me put you out here against these boys.
No.
Okay.
I could move.
So that right. So we talking
right.
about physical speed.
Physical speed.
Right.
Yeah, I was a tomboy, and I loved running. So again, I was always active. Fast forward as an adult, still remain active in the gym, out of the gym, love running.
What did you like about running?
Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've heard people say, I'm in a zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could get out. It was almost like a meditation for me. You know, it was just clear in my head and just out in the elements. Now, I don't like running in the cold, though. But
why not? Oh, that's invigorating.
I run really fast.
Question.
I'm not a cold weather girl.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, just so you know, I'm looking at, it's April
yeah.
26th
Absolutely.
Today, and my estimate is the temperature is probably in the mid-60s.
Cold.
Maybe 70s.
It's cold outside.
And I'm looking at Karen, she brought a bubble goose jacket. Like,
my
what
Saints,
you doing with
my
all,
New Orleans Saints jacket.
What are you doing with all of that?
I was trying to prepare.
She got a North Face up in here, and it's springtime. I see you don't like cold weather.
I don't like cold weather.
Okay.
So,
are you New
yeah,
Orleans? Where you?
I was born and raised in New Orleans.
Okay, cool.
Right. So,
okay, who
you
that?
Know, a warm who that?
Who that?
Exactly. Warm climate. But so fast forward, I was running like Forrest Gump, and eventually I wore out my meniscus. So I had to be sidelined for a while, and you know, as an active person, that's kind of difficult. For someone to say, don't run, and when running is what I do. So I sat for a while, you know, took a little bit of water aerobics, boring for me anyway.
Right.
I danced a little.
Did you have those head, that little ruffled bonnet that
you
wear?
The,
for
no.
That?
No.
Because when I think about water aerobics, I think about like ladies in ruffled bonnets.
No. I was a little bit too young for the ruffle bonnet
okay.
thing. So, no, I didn't wear the bonnet. But I enjoyed it, but it just, it you know, it wasn't enough for me. So I, you know, sat around and thought, I need to move this body. Started picking up yoga books, started practicing on my own initially. I was practicing to my Erykah Badu, you know, mm-hmm. flowing, just doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. And I came across a nurse. This is when I was in Japan. Her husband was in the military, and she was the wife of an active duty member, but she was a nurse, and she practiced yoga. Mm-hmm. So I got with her for a while and started practicing. Learned a lot. But then, you know, fast forward some years later, I wanted to share my journey and what I picked up on my own with other people. So I went to yoga teacher training.
Nice. So correct me, make sure I'm understanding this journey correctly. So you were this fast-paced runner, had to be out there grinding and roughing it out on the road, torn your meniscus. So it sort of sidelined you.
No, you lost your meniscus.
I eventually had to have a medial knee replacement. So my left side, the end part of my left side knee is replaced. Yeah, I blew it out running.
Blew it out.
But yoga saved me.
Yeah. So, but most people look at yoga as a very, that you just stretch. You're stretching.
Oh.
So from that fast pace running down the road to stretch.
it is a shift. It's a shift you have to make, but there's a misconception that yoga is sitting, meditating, quiet, slow movement. Yoga is so expansive that you can gain a lot of strength. You work your cardiovascular, depending on your breathing, your flow. So it provided. Pardon me, that sense of peace.
Go ahead and drink some water. You got some water.
I know. I'll get in a minute.
It provided me the sense of peace and freedom that running did. So for the head. So while running is and will always remain in my head and in my heart, my legs don't always cooperate, although I'd get back out there. Yoga for me provides, it gives me the head high, it provides the heart and the movement. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a shift I had to make. I had to slow down and embrace yoga differently than I embraced my running and, you know, my working out in the gym and lifting the weights. It provided a sense of still freedom, peace, and in that zone. I'm still able to get in a zone. While I'm not out running in the street, I am still able to get into a zone that, you know.
And I can relate to that. I mean, that was perfectly described, because as you were describing how you transitioned to that journey, I'm a visual person, so I was actually visualizing this whole experience. And I remember taking a hot yoga class.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, my goodness, I became addicted, actually.
You didn't know it was going to be all
no,
that, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I didn't, because mm-hmm. that zone you talk about,
absolutely.
Oh my goodness, it does take you to that zone, but yet it also challenges you.
Right.
And I did a little bit of running myself and still do a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. And the run itself, how I began, is because it challenged me, and that's exactly what that yoga did for me. It actually challenged me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you know, I'm sort of competitive, so.
Oh, yeah. and see, yoga's not about that, though. Right. Yeah. That's what I tell my students. When we practice, your practice is on your mat.
Right.
Don't worry about what Joe is doing. It's all about you, and it's on your mat.
That's
it's not
wonderful.
Competition.
Right. And it's and she's right. It's about setting the stage for yourself and connecting with yourself. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And actually engaging the whole experience and learning about your body.
Right.
Because that's
body, mind, and spirit.
Yes. There you go. Wonderful.
Connection. Yep.
Yeah. So here, that's how you actually navigated to yoga. And thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So, you know, something interesting, Karen. I said, I was so excited about you coming on the podcast. I said, okay, you know, I have to be more informed, because you know, like I just told you, I went to a hot yoga. So, you know, I was looking at your yoga. Now, you're going to have to help me with some of this terms. Because, excuse me, when I found out I had to do some homework, I said, how many yogas actually are there?
Oh,
and
God.
They're like, I mean, I found 14.
Right. And they're coming up every day.
What?
Yeah, somebody's creating something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so... And that was interesting to me. And it became more interesting to me when I started reading the different styles and the levels and the complexity of that. So can you kind of share with us how you discovered your yoga, and what is your yoga?
Well, when I sought out a school, It's just like with anything, you know, if you seek a mate, I don't know if we're supposed to be seeking mates or look for a job, you want a fit that's good for you. And because I like to move, I like music. I told you when I started, I was kind of doing it to my, you know, Erykah Badu and, you know, the style of music I like.
Right.
And I wanted continual movement, almost like an orchestrated dance sometimes, you know, even though, you know, you breathe through the flow.
Right.
You breathe with the movements. I read about vinyasa yoga. And vinyasa yoga is the type of yoga, it's all about the breath and movement. You move from one posture to the other based on the breath, the inhaling and exhaling. So that for me, coupled with the fact I was introduced, you know, I did it to music, and the young lady I practiced with also did it to music. It wasn't just about the silent, quiet yoga. It fit my soul, my spirit, it spoke to me. So when I sought out the school, I read about the owner and all the reviews and stuff. So I picked Flow Yoga Center. It's in D.C. I practiced there, and it was just an awesome environment. Again, to music and the flow.
Right. Well, I mean, they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the student and the teacher can be one and the same.
Wonderful.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be outside of you.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's exactly.
So there's definitely knowledge that you have inside of
right.
you that is locked up inside of you until you're ready to discover it.
Right.
So, and really, pretty much all learning is that way. You don't.
Yeah.
You can't teach anyone anything, really.
Right, right,
it's already there. You just have to.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
I love that. I love that. Yes. I like how you describe, what's that V word again?
Vinyasa.
Vinyasa. That's
vinyasa
it.
Sit with
vinyasa.
Us now.
Vinyasa.
Vinyasa.
Vinyasa. Okay.
Because it made me think of the Lion King, like,
Mufasa?
Say it again.
Vinyasa.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. You described it so well because, you know, not really knowing exactly what vinyasa was, I had to go and do my homework and find a little bit about the benefits and really what was it. What made vinyasa vinyasa? And as Karen just described, it said vinyasa yoga can be challenging and sweaty practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that describes exactly you, Karen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you're sweaty?
You know what? I aim to. We should sweat every day,
Karen,
right?
Karen. Colon.
Sweaty yoga.
Sweaty. Is that what you're like all of your profiles are? Karen. Sweaty and challenging.
Yes.
That's what we all going
for. She was the runner.
No, but we do encourage students when they come to vinyasa to bring a towel.
Yes.
Bring a towel. You don't want your mat to get slippery because if the instructor is challenging you enough, you will sweat. And it doesn't have to be in a heated room like hot yoga.
Right.
But because of the movements and the strength.
Right, right, right.
You will sweat.
So
you
we have a term here on the Wellness Connection podcast called controversial sweat.
Okay.
So there's a difference between conscious. So if y'all listened to the last episode, you know we brought up controversial sweating.
Okay.
That's what you don't want.
That's what you
Right. You don't want like when you're generally clean and you sweat.
Yeah.
That's cool. You just sweat.
Right.
But if you're not, it's controversial.
You mean if you don't start off clean?
Right.
Ooh. So. Okay.
Yeah, that's controversial.
Okay. Well.
So.
Not controversial.
Yeah, not controversial.
Nah, we glisten and we glow.
Right. Glisten and
that's
glow.
That's what we do.
There
you
go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like Karen said, like we had Dr. Santiago Navarez in the studio last week, and he said that positive sweat is very, very important for our system.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for homeostasis, to release toxins and waste.
Yeah.
So, sweaty practice.
Yeah, we need to sweat. Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
certainly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, you found Venetia yoga.
Vinyasa.
Vinyasa.
That's okay. We're going to call it the V.
V.
V yoga.
Thank
V yoga.
You, Karen.
I got you. Right.
So, tell us a little bit more about that. Now, I understand that actually falls under another type of yoga. Enshante?
Ashtanga?
Ashtanga?
Ashtanga. Sit together
well,
now.
Well, if you probably spoke to a another yogi.
We saying it wrong too.
Well, no. I'm saying Hatha yoga.
Hatha
yoga is kind of like the umbrella that all of them Wonderful. Really fall under. Uh-huh. It's just about movement. But Ashtanga yoga, you can say Vinyasa was kind of born of it. Ashtanga requires a little more power, strength, the moves. I don't want to say jumping, but you are powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, almost like sticking landings mm-hmm. in a sort of mm-hmm. sense.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But, yeah, I mix a little Ashtanga yoga into my practice as well, just to challenge, again, bring a deeper challenge or, right. or a greater challenge. So if we're not flowing, I may get to a point to where I'll have my students do an asana and hold it. Mm-hmm. So you hold it almost to the point of failure. Mm. To where your muscles in. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're discovering, okay,
right.
here I'm growing, you're I'm shaking. Yes. Exactly, I'm shaking, yes. my muscles are transforming.
Right, yes. right.
So we're not flowing constantly, but I'm having you to hold that.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
And that's where challenges come in as well.
Okay.
Nice. So,
let's take and the sweat.
Yeah, let's take a 2-minute break.
Okay.
Drink you some water.
Sure.
Heard about your journey, how you discovered the style of yoga that you have sort of built upon mm-hmm. on your own, and sort of the lineage of that type of yoga and the way that it operates physically. Can you share some of the other benefits of the practice that other people have experienced when they do it, or that you've experienced for yourself beyond just the physical fitness?
We're playing footsies here.
All right, guys.
beyond the physical benefits of vinyasa or any yoga, really, it's about bringing your mind, your body, and your spirit together. Mm. For me, yoga is powerful in a sense, helping me attune to myself. Bringing inner awareness, more self-awareness for stress. The breathing exercises coupled with yoga relieve stress. Mm-hmm. A strength, believe it or not, your cardiovascular system can improve with yoga. I don't know if balance is a misnomer in life, because I don't think you can ever achieve real balance in everything. But...
I think that... If there's a misunderstanding, it's in the fact that it equates to being still. So balance is always in motion.
Go ahead on. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the
correct.
Energy. Yeah.
Right. So you
moving.
Can't.
Moving.
Yeah, you can't be still and be balanced, because
right.
everything is always
exactly.
moving.
Exactly.
That's correct.
So yeah. Love that. So in a sense, yeah, you know, yeah. we bringing the energy, you know, it. What it does is, say, for instance, you know, if you had a stressful day or you know, you're anticipating when we should always live in the now. But we do. We're humans. You know, we think about yesterday. We think about tomorrow.
Right.
Yoga, for me, takes me away from tomorrow. It takes me away from yesterday. You know, I'm present on my mat, and that is my focus. And at the end of each yoga session, what I'm looking to take away is I want to feel stronger. I want to feel less stressed. I want to feel more centered. You know, so depending on the class or the teacher, there are so many benefits. There can even be a social benefit. You know, like-minded people and sharing like-minded things. But the health benefits of strength, you know, some of you holding some of these poses, your bones, increase in muscle tone, your heart muscle, it's just a world of benefits. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes. And it's interesting that, excuse me, yoga itself can bring so many benefits to the table in one sitting. You had said something that has intrigued me, and I want the listeners to understand that. You said it's about bringing your mind, body, and soul together. Can you talk a little bit more about that? What does that look like? What does that feel like?
What does it look like, and what does it feel like? When you are present on your mat, yeah, you have this instructor in front of you. They're instructing you to follow, so your mind, is following. And in a lot of yoga settings, I don't care what kind of music you're playing, because of the movement, it almost feels like it's a spiritual journey that you're taking on your mat. Mm-hmm. You know, your body's transforming, your mind has to be present, your body's present, and also your spirit is present at the same time. Now, granted, we think that is that way all the time, but if you're not self-aware, your body, mind, and spirit can be in one place at the same time, seemingly, mm-hmm. but like I was talking, your mind can be on tomorrow. When your mind is really not present because you're thinking about something else.
Right.
The voices.
Yeah. And then, you know, some kind of not being completely present. A lot of times when you're doing something where you're just going through the motions, right. Let's say a routine thing.
Yeah.
Then your mind is wandering.
Absolutely.
Doing all this time traveling.
Right.
So.
In yoga, we want you to be present.
Right. And I think the challenge is a big part of that.
Oh, no doubt.
If it's challenging, it brings your attention to
your awareness.
And awareness to what's going on in the moment.
Right. And on those mats, again, if it's sweaty and slippery and you're not aware, you're going to be doing some things you don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
So, no, you need to be, you know, have self-awareness there if everything's present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I like how you describe the mind aspect of this mind, body, and soul connection, because as a therapist, when I think about the mind and integrating it, it is in that awareness. But beyond that, it's cognitive integrating as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and something that resonates with me and what I do for a lot of my patients mm-hmm. every day is that cognitive engagement. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so thank you, that mind. Yeah. So we got the mind understanding. Help us with the spirit and or the...
With the spirit and the body, well, the body should be obvious mm-hmm. when, you know, when you're transforming into some of these asanas or poses and things you're doing. You're asking your body to do things. Let me sidetrack for a minute.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when a lot of people are introduced to yoga for the first time, they say, I can't do yoga. I'm not flexible.
Right.
That is not the point.
Right.
Very good.
We want to get you there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be challenging your body.
Right.
And if your mind is flexible, your body will follow.
Right.
Very good.
You know,
it's about letting go.
Absolutely. And just being where you mm-hmm. are at whatever mm-hmm. stage you are.
Mm-hmm. And accepting yourself.
And accepting yourself. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. So when you come to yoga, you may not be able to do certain things. That's why your practice is on your mat. You're not going to be able to do what your next door neighbor can do. But pay attention.
Yeah, but I'm competitive.
No,
I got to do it right.
Pay attention to yourself and your body. And this is what I tell my students. This is your practice. Mm-hmm. Honor your body. Honor your body for where it is today. Mm-hmm. It may not be there tomorrow. It may be someplace different. You may have a setback. Mm-hmm. But today, honor your body. And whatever you're capable of doing, do it. And if you're not, don't. So that's the body comes in. The body is so dynamic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm enamored with yoga because it's just people come to such self-realizations when, you know, especially when you see breakthroughs. It's like, oh my God, yes. I was able to do that today.
Yes.
You know, I have students come up and I'll say, yeah, 3 weeks ago you couldn't, but I ask you to honor yourself in that part of your practice. Now where the spirituality comes in is for instance, in those breakthroughs, you know, people realize I do have it in me. Mm-hmm. You know, I do have. And if we're talking like spirituality, the music could set the mood. The instructor could set the mood. Mm-hmm. When you make space for yourself and open and have an open heart and open mind, trust me, the spirit will be touched.
Right.
It will be touched.
Yeah, and the breath is a portal for life.
Oh, what?
So just with the breathing.
Amazing. And you have to believe, which we take for granted, Gerard. We really take the breath for granted. That's why I love breathing exercises, because people go, oh, well, you want me to breathe differently than I'm doing? Because you're not even aware that you're breathing.
Right.
We take it for granted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's autonomic.
Like, well, I haven't breathed in about 3 minutes.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
I've been holding my breath.
Don't let it go. Let that go. No. Yeah, but.
Well, let me tell you, if you keep holding that breath, you're going to feel that.
Oh.
No doubt.
It's amazing.
But yes, but you're very good point. It's an autonomic response that we take for granted.
So for granted.
You know, our body doesn't initially just take care of the need of having oxygen exchange with the nitrogen. And so we just take it for granted. But as we are learning with research and study and special integrative yoga therapies, mm-hmm. that breathing is very effective for multiple
very
purposes.
Very vital. Absolutely. You know,
and very vital.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so thank you for sharing that. So, as I'm understanding, the mind, body, and spirit mm-hmm. are integrated with each point and each step of the yoga practice.
Yeah, we want to keep them all together.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
Yes.
And you just have moments of
that. Yeah. We definitely want to keep them together.
Most definitely. Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay.
Oh, I'm good.
You're good? Are you breathing? I can take it. What?
I'm thinking about that. I'm observing my breath right now.
I am so, yeah. I mean, really, I also instruct my students. There's different breathing exercises and methods as well, but one.
I'm trying to be cool on this mic, hit y'all with a whole bunch of heavy breathing.
Hit it. No, one thing people one thing people can relate to is I have them to picture like having a straw in their core from the root of their body all the way up to the head. Mm-hmm. And when you inhale, just pretend like you're bringing air through the straw, that internal straw, mm-hmm. and then back, you know, inhale and exhale. If you can picture that. Mm-hmm. So that's when people are not really aware of the different
things. So if you're listening now, you might be washing your dishes or whatever the case may be. Or if you're sitting, just envision that straw.
That straw. Yeah.
And
inhale the air through it.
So
just like you
mm-hmm.
sip.
So when we normally drink through a straw, we use our mouth. Should we be using our mouth or our nose when we're inhaling and exhaling?
Definitely. Well, I'd like
that's
to.
That's a very important question.
That's an awesome question.
I have to teach my patients all the time
right.
how to breathe effectively. To be successful with their therapeutic engagement.
Inhaling through mm-hmm. the nose or from the root, like the root chakra, like that mm-hmm. place you sit
mm-hmm.
on.
Uh-huh.
Inhaling from the root, inhaling. Your nose could be totally closed and you can inhale.
Mm-hmm.
But really just, you don't have to, I don't want you inhaling through your mouth all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, because
you know, you can inhale when your mouth closed, your
right.
mouth open. But I try
And if
to,
you're going to exhale.
There's a space in your throat,
mm-hmm.
like right behind your epiglottis,
mm-hmm.
you can feel you can actually breathe through that just from the root.
It's true.
You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to explain.
Yes,
it really
it's
is
an
hard
experience.
To explain,
Can you
but
take
it
us
is.
Through that experience? Can you
right.
take
okay,
us
let's
through
everybody
that
have
experience?
Everybody have a seat. Have a seat and plant your feet
have
on the floor.
Have a seat.
Yeah.
Now, the root chakra is at the base of your bottom.
Right,
let's just
right.
Say
you
that's
know what it is.
Right.
You have
you know that you're sitting
no,
on
no,
your
no, it's not.
You're sitting
not
on
there.
Your root. It's
you
not
it.
There.
You know what we're talking about.
Right,
y'all.
Right.
The pelvic bone.
Yeah, say,
okay.
say for instance, like
yes.
when a lady, I'll say a woman is maybe doing Kegels. It's
right.
like
yes.
around
right.
that area of
oh,
the body.
Very good.
That's
yeah,
where your root is.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead, say it.
I don't want to. I want to make sure I say it in a way that we can keep the clean rating.
Say it with your right face.
Right. Well, it rhymes with ain't.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So
ain't?
Yeah.
It rhymes
with ain't
puzzled.
And starts with T. It's like the space in between. It's the space in between that
your
area.
Bottom. Just we're gonna call
yeah. it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So
we're gonna call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you sit up, try to sit with a nice straight back.
Mm-hmm. Sit like Prince Akeem when he was talking to a girl in Coming to America when he was sitting at the table.
Oh, and Solution.
Right, he always sat. He couldn't figure out how to sit, so he was like,
"Yeah, he was posturing."
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Sit like Prince Akeem in Coming to
mm-hmm.
America.
Straight back, yeah. And when you inhale, you want to picture your root, the root chakra.
Mm-hmm. And that root chakra is again that bottom
at the base, mm-hmm. right at the base. You want to draw in. Some people believe when you inhale, your belly should protrude. Your belly should protrude. Right? And when you exhale, you should pull your navel back to the spine. I don't want to say that's controversy, but people do it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. So we're going to do it, though, when our bellies are going to rise. So sit, inhale from the root. Allow your belly to expand. Fill up your chest cavity. Try to send that air out through the top of your head, out through the crown chakra. And when you bring it back, gonna bring that air in and exhale it out to the root again. It's like almost like the same path. Inhale, exhale. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't explain that right. I hope y'all got it out there.
I felt it. I really felt it.
I need y'all to breathe. That's right. the bottom line. And understand the breath and what it can do for you.
But techniques make a big impact on your experience.
If you're in a space to do it. If you're in a space to do it, like, you know, where it's safe for you to do that, just while you're thinking about it right now as you're listening.
And while you're driving, do it in traffic. Oh my God, please do it in traffic.
Just keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes, don't, I never say close your eyes.
Right, but sometimes but when no. you get into it, that kind of happens.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's very, and you know what, Karen, I really have to say, I've practiced this sometimes because I one of the things I do not like is traffic.
Oh my. Oh,
so I'm always strategic.
Mean, is it because our names are Karen? I can't, that.
Like,
I,
how dare you want
listen,
to go somewhere and
listen,
I do too.
When I tell you, I'm not stressed in any other part of my life.
Right.
Except for traffic.
For traffic.
So I really have to practice my breathing.
Same here.
And I listen to meditations mm-hmm. while I am driving.
Yes, yes.
I have to listen to, now I can bump.
I think that's a lot of that has to do with control.
Yeah. I can bump mm-hmm. and thump, but uh-huh. I want to listen to, when I'm in traffic.
Oh yeah.
I want to be calm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Because when I'm bumping and thumping, as you said, Karen, I'm like, it takes me to another zone.
Oh, yeah. Someplace different. It's a different camera.
There's a different
Yeah, right.
So, yes, right. I agree. You bring in it, honing it in.
Yeah, and that's another thing about the mind, body, spirit, and the awareness. You can employ that anywhere. The practices of yoga, yes. your breathing. I mean, and like for stress, it's helpful anywhere. Mm-hmm. So you can take that with you. Definitely in the car, when you're in traffic, you want right. to have everything present. Mm-hmm. You want to be focused.
Right.
And breathing helps. Mm-hmm.
So if we could talk a little bit, because I think that yoga is such a foreign introduction to here
Western society.
Yes, and it's such a very impactful intervention that we can incorporate in our day-to-day lives. I mean, all the benefits that you've just mentioned,
right.
and it's somewhat, although can be a very challenging experience, and you can challenge yourself throughout the journey of it, it's yet such a simple introduction as well.
Well, the simple introduction, I would say, if you want to get started in yoga, there's so many limbs of yoga, but in the physical practice and the asanas, I would say start out your day with simple sun salutations. It's a rising to the sun. It takes you through steps, and you can, I guess, pretend you're going around the sun. You're not getting into any really challenging poses, but because you're flowing, and with that sun salutation, you do get a part of every part of your body, and the sun salutation is affected. I won't say you're fully stretched because mm-hmm. if you don't, you know, if like people say, if you're not as flexible at that point, starting out with sun salutations can be a real benefit, a start to your practice.
Very good. Can you describe that sun salutation? I remember going to my first yoga class and she said, go do the dog and do the
downward dog.
I was like, what is she talking about?
Right.
And I felt a little misplaced. So as you are talking about that sun salutation, can you describe it to us? Can you give us a visual?
The visual. Well, first, let's say we're standing. Let's say we're at a tall tree. We're in, we're just in a tree pose.
Which is standing straight.
Standing straight, mm-hmm. right? We're in that tree pose. We're a strong tree. We're grounded. We're rooted into the earth. This is where we start. We're going to inhale. We're going to bring our arms up. That's saluting the sun, rising to the sun. Right? Then the sun salutations will take you through a series of 12 steps, I believe. Mm-hmm. 12 yoga steps. And downward dog, Karen, is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get... you get to that point, hopefully your instructor will be able to...
sort of guide you.
Guide you exactly
right.
to mm-hmm. where you are through each step. Mm-hmm. But there's so much out there. If you just Google sun salutation,
right.
you know, there's a moon salutation you can even do at night. But I'd recommend that everybody start out their day with just, you know, the series of steps for sun salutation. Yeah.
Do you have any resources like that that you've created that we can
I can't say that I've created. There's so much out there. Again, you can go to YouTube.
Right, right. But you know, maybe they're trying to rock with you. I don't know.
Maybe you're trying to rock with me. Come rock with me.
Because you're so smooth.
Yeah, I do. I haven't created like you were talking about the different yogas you found. There's always something coming up. You know, people want to branch off and do their own things. Yet it's all still movement. Now, whether or not somebody incorporates, like I like to incorporate oils and candles and incense and that. For me is the mood. You get some instructors that they don't want to do that, so they'll call it something, you know, I may call mine whatever it is.
Right, so what we might do then is I know that people can Google and find stuff, but to get a sense of the types of things that you are drawn to,
right,
perhaps you can share some of those links with me and we'll put them in the show notes so they can get a feel for exactly the type of energy that you having the work that you do.
Oh yeah,
and love. Then when you drop your joint, you know, put that out there. Too.
Come see me at the Zen Spot.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. So people can actually connect with you, Karen. Mm-hmm. They're hearing your lovely voice and how engaging you are and how you love what you do, because that's
passionate.
Showing. Yeah, it's really shining here. I mean, when you talk about yoga and how you found it itself, when you find something on discovery, it's something of passion.
Right.
You know, along your journey, you're not going to just go and just pick up anything at that point, because here you're misplaced. You were misplaced when you couldn't do that run.
Absolutely.
I know how that feels when you're misplaced. And I'm sure many of our podcast listeners can also sense that, and I'm sure Jared can as well. So when you connect with something on your journey,
it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I almost wish I had incorporated it prior to my injury, you know.
It may have helped.
Yeah. So that's, I encourage people now, you know, to incorporate that into your practice.
Right.
So again, love the gym. I love working out.
Right.
You get into the gym and you see these big swole. Swole is a new word in the dictionary. You know that, right? S-W-O-L-E. They put it in the Merriam-Webster. So you see these swole.
Yeah, they got a swole guy who got a gallon of water.
A gallon of water. He's swole. He will crack your head with his bicep. Yet he can't bend down to touch his toe.
Correct. No stretching, no cardio.
Really?
And very good point you're making, and a good point you brought to the table, because normally runners, because that was one thing that my yoga teacher said, I know you runners cannot do this particular full stretch, but we're going to work towards it. That was said quite often.
Yeah, now even in track, when I was in track, we didn't stretch a whole lot. Yeah, but I mean, had I incorporated yoga earlier, like I encourage people to do, it may have prevented some of my injuries.
Yeah, a lot of people just, one of the values of working with an instructor or a trainer or a teacher, of course, there's a lot of things that you can do on your own, but a lot of times working with someone who's trainers, they can give you the right technique to do it safely and properly, so that you don't
give you some help,
right,
and guide you, and also, as Karen said earlier, challenge you. Right. She knows she has the skills and the whereabouts, and the know-all how to stretch you and go beyond your boundaries.
The breath helps.
Yes,
the breath. People don't understand, like when you're, say for instance, in a forward fold. You know, often the forward fold is when the head can, like for instance, my head can touch my knees, you know, when I'm forward, I close my body up. Some people can't bend beyond, I mean, they're
90 degrees.
Yeah, they, but
it's not even a fold, it's a forward crease.
A forward crease, exactly. I like that, Gerard. They can crease, right? But yeah, but when they recognize the breath, inhaling and exhaling, they find that they're able to go a little deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, the hamstrings and the hips are most tight areas for some reason. But when you couple with the breath, you can find that you can go just a little deeper and a little deeper. And then, you know, eventually you'll get that close up and that breakthrough. Mm-hmm. So where the body can close.
Yes. Right. And a little medical behind the stretch of what she's describing is the fact that we're made of ligaments and tendons. And with the breath, yes, sir. I see you over there
making that
face.
Don't worry about me.
He's like, don't talk about my ligaments. No, my tendons, because
bone and gristle.
Oh, well, that gristle. That gristle needs to stretch.
I got gristle.
We have muscle memory. And so when we aren't able to stretch to the full capacity that our heart may desire, or maybe the need to, in order to stretch, in the need to fulfill that particular pose you're trying to, you know, enhance,
ultimately upon, achieve.
Yeah,
you know, people. Yes. That's really what you're trying to.
Yeah, do. What you're really trying to achieve is, it can be achieved because with continuous and, like as Karen practice. Described, practice mm. and engagement, allowing the oxygen. With oxygen, as we know, it actually fuses the muscle area and allowing it to then be able to the fibers. Can also
loosen up.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So there's some science behind yoga.
Okay.
I know it's
the neuroscience as well.
Exactly.
Really, because it really, I mean, it's amazing to the brain.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. The degree to which the limitations that you are experiencing in your body are really just limitations in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And also, like Karen said, the neuroscience, the endorphins.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So, correct, yeah. Exactly. It increases
those
your happiness.
Absolutely.
Like she said, when you're driving and trying to increase those endorphins so that you will not lay out the crazy driver. So, yes. Let me stay focused.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes.
I feel like you're experiencing some anxiety about your commute from here because
I know it's going to be interesting. That's for sure. That's okay.
Yeah,
you're breathing.
Yeah,
right.
And I have to share that Karen actually drove almost 2 hours to be with us today, and we really appreciate her for that.
It was an okay drive, in this DMV area.
And you walked through that door with just shining like the sun itself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She had to. She had come in half stepping.
Yeah, she already knew. What you said earlier, something about it was two different Karen. Something you would say that wasn't me, and this was. I forget you were saying.
What earlier? Oh, yes. Along my journey?
Right.
My wellness journey?
Yeah. You have to realize that I'm not the same person I was in traffic a few minutes ago.
Correct.
You
know? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So compartmentalize that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Have I thrown us into complete disarray, or are we still on track, Karen?
No, we're still on track here. Okay. Yeah. I think Karen has done a wonderful job in opening up the vision of incorporating yoga into our lifestyles. There, as we said earlier, there are so many. I found 14 myself of integrative type of yogas that you can engage in. And with Karen's particular style, she likes a little bit of funk and flow, as she described.
Keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh, you know. So, you know, what would you leave with the wellness community, the wellness podcast listeners, and what are their first steps to engage? I know you shared the morning salutation and the evening moon, but taking just a little bit beyond that, what would you encourage them to do?
My first words of encouragement are to have an open heart and an open mind. You have to show up. You have to make space for yourself. If you want to begin a yoga practice, start by maybe doing a little research to find out where you, like you said, you found 14. Ashtanga yoga may work for you. Power yoga. A lot of runners tend to like power yoga.
That's interesting.
Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So there's yin yoga. There's yoga if you want to sit and hold your asana for 5-10 minutes. There's nidra yoga for sleep time. It just depends on where you want to be or where you want to start. I would say I'm from New Orleans, y'all, so I'll say a gumbo of all of them can be a benefit to you. But start by doing your research. Start by having an open heart and an open mind. If you're a runner, if you work out, if you're one of the swole guys I mentioned in the gym, your ligaments and your tendons, you need to move. You need to stretch those. So start by being receptive. How about that? Be receptive to the benefits to your mind, body, and spirit that yoga can bring.
So Karen, yeah, we really appreciate you sharing your wellness journey with us and how important yoga is and how you bring yoga into the community by sharing your passion towards it and how it's actually created a journey for you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you please share the vision you have for your work?
For my work, wow. My goal is really to have a health and wellness center for mind, body, and spirit. Like in my tagline, I'll say your mental, emotional, and spiritual gym. Mm-hmm. You know, just to have the health and wellness in my community. You know, I want to share yoga with everybody. And I don't want men, I want men and women alike to understand that your body needs yoga. Really, I mean, we really need it, you know, men and women. That's my vision. Just to share it. I want to mention meditation if I can.
Yes, of course.
Is this a good spot?
Yeah.
I was just...
Hey, this is your spot.
I was just asking, Jer.
The Zen spot.
I don't want to make it about religion, but meditation has, for me, where I think... I don't know, 70s, 80s, maybe it was thought for like kooky people, you know, you meditate, that was something like, you know, for weirdos, when we all need to be still, mm-hmm. sometimes just to hear ourselves. So I would encourage everybody just to create a little space in your home, if it's a closet, a window, something where you can sit and be still and do nothing. Now, granted, the thoughts will come. I mentioned, mm-hmm. thoughts will come. Acknowledge those thoughts. Let them go. Sit and breathe. Mm-hmm. You can listen to music. You can have a walking meditation. Take some time out for yourself to just listen to you. You know, find your niche in meditation. It may not be sitting. You might like walking. You may like a meditation with food, you know.
Right.
There's so many, you know, right. different forms yeah. of meditation
yeah,
coming up.
Interesting that you mentioned that. The lady who was, we had a couple people in the studio while we were recording. She is actually a Vipassana meditation teacher.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So she goes deep.
Yeah.
She goes deep.
She's my meditation teacher.
Wow. So is she?
Yeah. So I practice with her and she integrates art
into
the meditation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that the practice I have is around art and creation.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so.
Yeah. yeah, so it's whatever form, you know, and giving back to yourself. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. Create space for yourself.
I'm sorry. I like how you gave dimension to meditation. Can you please define meditation for us?
Meditation. Meditation is, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want the practitioners out there to say I'm wrong.
All right.
But for me, mm-hmm. I'll say meditation is just about quieting the voice, being still, even though, I mean, walking meditation is walking, but it's just a time to be still and to receive, you know, to allow the light to come in. What you find is when you sit, focus on your breathing, things will come to you. Creativity comes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. My creativity is heightened. I get things from the universe when I'm just sitting and allowing and being receptive.
Yeah, one of the things that happens in that quieting is all of the, like, clarity is like our natural state.
What?
So as long as everything is moving, all of the debris, everything is just
kind
of floating
it's
around.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get still, it just naturally just settles to the bottom, and then you just have that clear.
Good point. Good, mm-hmm. good point. Yeah. Because
you're
constantly moving. It is noisy.
Mm-hmm.
Your head is noisy.
Right.
And when you first sit or walk or whatever meditation you embrace, you will find that we call it monkey brain in meditation.
Yes. Yeah, it's right there. Brain.
It's constantly moving.
Is there
all
day long.
But the ooh eventually becomes ooh. It slows.
Right. Just like floating, settling through water.
Yeah, and you're getting clearer.
Right.
Finding purpose and gaining insight from the universe.
Mm-hmm. I think you did a wonderful job describing it and actually defining it. I mean, for you literary people, meditation is a practice where an individual uses a technique such as mindfulness or focusing their mind on a particular object, thought, or activity, such as food, as Karen said earlier,
right.
to train attention and awareness and achieve a mentally clear and emotional calm and stable state. You guys
awesome.
Did a wonderful job.
Right.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Yeah. So that's your vision for everyone.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't
Most
it be
definitely.
Nice?
I think, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The benefits of that nice vision and you affecting your community, some of the unwanted things that we're experiencing today in our culture will simmer down as well.
Heal.
Yeah.
Bring healing. Mm-hmm.
What an amazing vision for our community and our world, Karen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for so Healers. Much for visiting us here
You're
at the
welcome.
Wellness Connection.
My pleasure.
And I want to thank you, listeners. And I'm hoping that this episode will be a meaningful tool and resource for you. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a rating and review. It helps other people find the show. If you also want to connect with Karen Folks, you can tune in or channel into the Wellness Connection podcast or at the wellnessconnection.health website, where you can design your own wellness journey using tools and resources that enable, promote, facilitate, and ultimately, meaningfully, health and wellness journey for you. My name is Karen Bell, and we have
Jared Forte
and Karen Folks with Hale Wellness on the Wellness Connection. Remember, it's our aim to bring quality living to everyday life.